5:06 on the Central Coast. I'm Dave Congleton. Where's Andy? We're going to get him.
Maybe he's too busy.
Yeah, he's with the 4 o'clock guest. All right. We'll catch him sometime. We've got Andy Morris out at the Alex Madonna Expo Center, where he is doing kind of a live broadcast. It's their annual Chamber Expo. And if you're on your way home, you might as well swing on by. It's open to 7 o'clock. It's free. And there are all sorts of local businesses there. Heck, Tachi Palace is there. You can sign up for all sorts of free stuff. They're giving stuff away. It's always a fun time at the Chamber Expo. Doors are open, and go on by and say hi. So to come on this broadcast, Derek Sen, local singer-songwriter, has a new CD out. It's pretty darn impressive. He's going to have a release party this weekend. We'll hear from Derek, and I'll introduce you to him. Guy Rathbun will be here tomorrow. Also, Dr. Fred Vernacchia. Peggy Cotine joins us as well. It is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Before we go to Jennifer Stover, let's go to Andy Morris at the Alex Madonna Center. How are you, Mr. Morris?
Doing good, Dave. Sorry, I got to yakking with a gentleman about KVEC who was walking through here, and he was telling me about Bob Brown. Do you know Bob Brown?
Absolutely. Former owner.
Okay.
Yep. Former owner, general manager. Yep.
Yep, general manager for about 40 years, and he was telling me he still lives in Atascadero. And
yes, sir.
He was mentioning he thought that would be a good interview, and I said, well, bet if he's local, Dave already knows it.
Well, tell the gentleman he should listen to the show because Bob Brown comes on about twice a year.
Oh, he does? Okay. No, see, that's good. I'll make sure. We're here, by the way, at the Madonna Inn Expo Center. I know you've got guests there, so I'm just going to tell you real quick that we're here till 7 o'clock tonight. Come on by and see all the businesses. If you can't make it, make sure you tune into the morning show over the next week because we're going to have some interviews with some really special folks that are up here showing you their businesses. The interview I just finished with the folks from Mama Ganache's Chocolate was a delicious interview, I'll tell you what.
Did she give you some samples?
Yeah, they did. But it wasn't Mama. I think it was Son Ganache who was here. But
okay.
Ben came by to talk to us. And they're down by the Splash Cafe, a really good chocolatier right here in San Luis Obispo.
All right, Andy, have fun. We'll check in with you later.
All right, thanks, Dave. Have fun, and I'll talk to you in a bit.
Andy Morris checking in at the Expo. Jennifer Stover is here. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Dave.
Nice to see you. Shall we start with the story? I'll tell you a story.
You'll tell me a story?
I'll tell you a story.
Sure.
My friend Patty is getting ready to, she's moving away. Patty is a fellow writer, known Patty, I don't know, 7-8 years. So we had lunch today. We went over here to the Japanese place at the Marigold Center. The place is jammed. Food's good. Everything's fine. We're just chatting away. And their young woman server comes by, and she has these amazingly long eyelashes. And Patty, those eyelashes are beautiful, compliments her and starts talking to her about it, and they go back and forth for a minute or two. Server leaves. I look at Patty, and I said, you know what? I couldn't say that to that server.
Right.
I wouldn't be allowed to say that.
Right.
And Patty agreed.
Right. Yeah. So
that's my story.
That's your story.
A short version.
Right.
All right. But the timing is everything because you reached out to me, and this is something that you want to talk about. I've been calling it Men and Women in the Age of Me Too.
Right.
Is there a better title?
No, I don't think so. I just think that, I mean, first of all, I'm certainly a believer in supporter of the Me Too movement. I think it's about time that we pushed the conversation and the behavior forward to a new level. But I just know that at this point in time, it's made it more difficult to be able to negotiate. How do men and women talk to each other? How do they have friendships? How do they move from, what's allowable? How do you go about moving from friendship to something else if that's what both parties want? How do you figure out that both parties want that? And more. Just it's impacting relationships. I've been privy to a few different conversations between like married couples that it was like very surprising to me how the whole conversation went down.
Sure. What do you mean?
Well, I, was present at a dinner where the, I don't remember which particular person had just been called out, you know, as for Me Too, some political figure, public figure, I don't remember who. And I was quite surprised to learn for the first time that this person, this woman that I had known for many years, actually had her own Me Too story. And she'd never, you know, told me about that. As she's attempting to talk about it, her spouse begins to say that, you know, he obviously is feeling defensive because he's been in management, and he's a white male. And he begins saying things like, you can't just believe somebody off of what they're saying. You have to, you know, he became very protective of the idea that you can't actually take women's word at face value. He's protecting the men. And it was like, I can't believe that he would be taking that point of view and arguing it vehemently when his wife had just really made herself vulnerable in front of a whole group of people by saying that she had experienced this very thing and that when she'd gone to her bosses, they had discounted her and nothing was really done.
That could be her marriage in trouble.
Yes, that is certainly what I thought.
Though, I understand, I would hate to think that anybody would say that just because somebody makes an accusation, it is accepted as being true.
Yes, so this is a...
I think there's some middle ground there.
Right. It's a sticky situation, isn't it? Because women have had to live with the fact that nobody is going to believe them for generations now. So it's very, makes me very uncomfortable when I hear somebody saying, yeah, but she has to be able to prove it in some way. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, you guys haven't been listening to us and believing us my whole life. So this just sounds like more of the same, even if that's not how it's meant. And that's one of the problems that I think that we're having. We're just having a really hard time with, you know, a man will say something and then how a woman receives it and takes it in may not at all be really what was in the heart of the man that just said that. Does that make any sense?
Yes. And the thing I would underscore is that what it's been 2019. Oh, all this has gone down in less than 2 years.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it's been
a whirlwind.
It's been epic in yes. terms of the number of prominent men who have been taken down and more who have been accused. It's head spinning.
Yes. But what I would say is there are many, 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 many more men who have never been accused, even though they are guilty of. Many women have reached out to me when I wrote things about Me Too and said that they wanted to tell me privately, you know, or they posted directly into Facebook about the fact that they'd had these things happen. So I'll give you a for instance.
Okay.
So in my 20s, actually, I'll start with when I was 18. When I was 18, I began working at the racetrack at Golden Gate Fields. I was very involved with riding horses at that time. And anyway, I started being a groom at Golden Gate Fields. And, you know, I was busy just being a groom, getting through my day, figuring out how to be there at the track. And I had to take two different buses and walk quite a distance to get there every morning really early because I didn't have a car.
Right.
At some point, there was a gentleman, and I don't even remember exactly how he was connected to the track, but he worked there. And my guess is, looking at it now, that he was somewhere in his 60s. And he offered, when the end of my day came, to give me a lift home. And I took that lift and then got into his car and realized, he said, well, let's, you know, it's still early enough, let's go to lunch, because things happen real early at the track in the morning. So let's go to lunch. No, I don't want to go to lunch. You know, can we just go to my house? I started realizing this is getting creepy. And then he pulls up to the house. And before I can get out of the car, he's got his hand on my knee, you know, and saying, well, next time we'll have to go to lunch and spend some time together or something. It's like, it came so far out of left field for me. I don't know what I said, but I basically fled the car and, you know, never spoke with him again. And I didn't work very much longer at the track. I just left the track. And that's kind of a typical scenario.
And did that incident have any lasting impact on you in terms of shaping your behavior?
I would say multiples of these incidents have shaped my behavior. So, you know, I've had multiple times where men appeared to be extending friendship to me. I would even have told them that I was, you know, in a serious relationship with somebody. And they would say, no, I just want to be your friend. And the next thing I know, they would be making some kind of verbal attempt, at the very least, to make it something more than being just a friend. And so I began to have to figure out more, well, okay, how do I go through the world? And this is something that I think all women probably do without really thinking too hard about it. But I was thinking the other day about this, talking about it with my husband. You know, how do you go through the world making yourself look pretty enough and being engaging enough that you are, you know, that you are socially, you know, connected to other people, that people want to be your friend, but then at the same time, make sure that you're somehow not ever crossing a particular line that would send out a signal that somehow you are available for something more than what you are ostensibly, you know, trying to put signals out for. So constantly trying to figure out, you know, is what I'm wearing something that's, you know, there's certain things that I would never put on if my husband wasn't with me. If my husband's with me, I could wear that dress. If he's not, I'm not going to wear that dress and go to a function. So there are certain ways that I can engage with other men if he's right there, and other ways that I never would. So, yeah, definitely affects you.
Jennifer Stover on this broadcast. General topic is men and women in the era of Me Too. I'm letting Jennifer do most of the talking. Welcome back and pick up the conversation. We're live, we're local. This is the Dave Congleton Show. You're with Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio. California headline news at the bottom of the hour. We're going to check with Andy Morris again at some point. We're back with Jennifer Stover, who reached out to me because she wanted to discuss men and women in the eve and the era of the Me Too movement. And if you heard what she was just saying, I think you have a sense as to why she wanted to talk. There's another story you wanted to share about a recent incident.
A recent incident. And this is more, I hope will highlight the difficulty of communicating and communicating honestly around this topic at this current time. So I like to go hiking, but I don't like to go hiking alone, especially I won't go hiking alone if it's going to be sort of a less populated area. So I had reached out more than once and saying, you know, is there anybody out there that wants to go hiking with me? And a couple of different times, a very nice man had said, from a group of people, had said, sure, that he would meet me and we would go hiking. And that was great. And we did. And I felt like we had the beginning of a very nice friendship happening around this hiking thing. And then we were with a group of people, and he made some comments referencing the whole tape of Trump saying that he could grab women.
Right.
It became very unclear to me if what he was saying was a joke or if he was being serious about what he was saying. And I suddenly began to think about, I remember I answered him in some way enough that he apparently realized I was a little bit like taken aback by what he'd said, because then he reached out to me later very nicely to offer kind of an apology. We can talk about apologies another but he was obvious that he realized that maybe he'd stepped in it, right? In this era of Me Too, maybe he'd stepped in it. And so I thought, okay, here's somebody that is potentially a friend, and I'm going to tell him, I'm going to explain to him honestly the position I feel like this has now put me in. And so to me, what I said to him was that from this point on, if I were to accept going on a hike with him, just the two of us, I would always have to say to myself, is this actually a safe thing to do? And if I did it and anything happened between us, I would have to look back and second guess, why, Jennifer, did you go do that with that man that made that comment? That should have been a red flag. You should have paid attention. I would have blamed myself over my choice.
But he was making a joke.
I still am unclear as to exactly.
That's what I'm trying to understand. Was he making a joke, or was it he was defending Trump for making the statement that he made?
It wasn't that. It was that he's made some kind of comment about doing some similar kinds of things when he was young.
I see.
And that, but the women liked it because he was young and good looking at the time. Okay, so it was like, wait, did you just say that you felt that you could get away with things when you were young because of your looks, and that you did actively get away with things? I just didn't know what I was supposed to make of that. And so when I responded by explaining to him that my dilemma was I didn't think that I could go hiking with him anymore because of the issue of if anything ever happened, I would end up blaming myself, and I didn't want to be in that situation of blaming myself. And so his response was basically that maybe we needed to not be friends. And that's very sad to me. I feel like on his side, if I could project myself into his side, he probably felt like he had been a good guy. He had offered protection to me when I'd asked for protection on these other hikes. He'd never stepped out of line or said anything or done anything wrong during those times with me alone. And so why would I be projecting this onto him, this attitude onto him?
Would this have happened 5 years ago?
I would not.
Before all this stuff went down?
I would not have spoken up and told him my reality. That's the difference. For sure, I could easily have been with a man, and he could easily have been joking about his things that he had done or said with women, but I wouldn't have spoken up.
Jennifer Stover is here. Men and women in the era of Me Too. That's the topic. Stick around. Here's the news. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Find us online, please, at 920kvec.com. Follow us on Facebook at Newstalk 920kvec. And stick around, because during the 6 o'clock hour, Derek Sen is going to join us. We're going to celebrate his brand new CD, How Could a Man this kind of ties into this topic. It's all tied in together. It's a theme to today's show. He's got a CD release party this weekend. We'll hear some music and talk to Derek about his work. And maybe we'll hear from Andy Morrison. Maybe we won't. That's fine. Well, say the magic word. There he is. When we check in with Andy, then we'll be rejoined by Jennifer Stover. And we got Andy Morris out at the Alex Bonanno Expo Center. Andy, what's happening?
Hey, I'm having a blast out here, Dave. Sorry, I keep missing those windows by just a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't mean to mess you up there. I was spending some time recently here talking with Rick Smith from the Renaissance Festival. I know he enjoys coming on your show every year.
Nice guy.
Yep. And they've got the Renaissance Festival has got a booth set up here, just to give you an idea of some of the great folks that are here. It's, as you said before, absolutely free. It's at the Bonanno Inn Expo Center, and anybody who's in the area can come on up and see us.
And they're there all the way till 7 o'clock.
Yep, till 7 o'clock tonight. In fact, I'll be checking with you just before you say so long for the night, and then we'll be set to go. But a lot of great folks up here. Doesn't matter if you're looking for something for your home, a business you want to learn from. I'm meeting a lot of great nonprofit groups that are up here, and you'll be hearing more about them in the days to come.
All right, Andy Morris, have fun at the Expo on the Expo.
All right, thanks much, Dave. We'll talk to you again in just a little bit.
I hope so. Jennifer Stover on this broadcast. It's not an easy topic to have. Men and women in the era of Me Too. Jennifer's been sharing some stories from her own life, a recent story, and then one from her life as a young woman. You want to join in? We don't try to make you uncomfortable, but if you want to join in, feel free to. Phone lines are open, 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Have you noticed a difference in the way men and women interact?
Yes. Yeah. So, and you were going to share a story, and I think that that's a wonderful example. I would say...
This?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I just think that it's made, there's, as much as I think that we need to change, we're definitely going to lose some things by the direction that the change is taking us. So let you tell your story, and then I'll talk about what I think we're losing.
It's not much of a story, but I do the fist bump now.
Right.
With men, but particularly with women. I give a fist bump because I used to be more of a hugger, but I don't know anymore. I don't know if women want to be hugged.
Right.
And so play it safe, boom.
Right. And I totally understand that perspective. If I were a man, I would probably be, especially a man who's a public, you know, figure, I would definitely be doing something like a fist bump at this point. But here's what we lose. You know, hugs feel great, and human beings like to be hugged and need connection. And it's possible that there were people that you met that came in here to you know, be on your show that you would greet with a hug, but that was the only physical contact they were going to have that day with another human being. And now they're not going to be able to get that. A fist bump does not do the same thing for us as a genuine hug of friendship.
I won't tell any borderline jokes.
Yeah. So that, and you better not, right?
Yeah.
And I completely think that that's appropriate.
Because there's the workplace, but there's just also social interaction in general.
That's right. And I happen to be somebody that's hooked on watching, the one TV station that has all the old comedies on it. It's like 6-3. And listening to what's said in those old comedy shows, it's like, oh my God, I'm surprised they let those shows on in the era of Me Too, because it is constant sexual innuendo and putting down of women in a variety of ways. And it's not that it doesn't go both ways some, but it is mostly projected at the female characters. Just lots of stuff that it's like you would not be able to write into a comedy sketch now.
But you're watching it.
I'm watching it. Yes, I am. So, you know, things on Drew Carey, that you could not get away with.
I've never seen the show.
Oh, well, you should. It's a very funny show. There are very funny characters on it. So he is an incredibly talented individual comic. So, yeah.
What do you think about Mike Pence?
Well, you need to give me a much more narrow window of what you're asking me than
Let's try. I don't have a lot of respect for Mike Pence, but there's one area that he does where I get it. If you want to meet with him after 7 o'clock at night and you're a woman, he brings his wife.
Right. And I think that that's entirely appropriate, frankly, as long as it's all... it's obvious that it's not a social situation. I mean, if there's a female that's trying to connect with him and make some kind of connections, political connections or whatever, then I don't understand what the problem would be having his wife there. And it can only make it safer for everybody, right? For both Mike Pence and the woman that wants to see Mike Pence. So I don't find a problem with
that. Is this what we've come to?
Yes, it is what we've come to. It was there all along what we've come to. So there's a way of looking at that. Some women, I think, were saying it was making it difficult for them to have access, the same access. But, okay, if the choice before was I can have access and put myself in jeopardy of having something happen to me versus I can choose to not have access, that's not better. This is a way to at least have access and have it be safe for everybody involved. So he's actually protecting the women that want to be able to make connections with him as well as protecting himself.
Hmm. I can't see the tweets. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. I meant text. I'm sorry. Jennifer Stover on this broadcast. Talking about the challenges of men and women in the era of Me Too. So where do you see this going?
Yeah, I'm just really not clear. And it may be that people that are younger than you and I are already better at navigating this landscape. Maybe it's just that we're so far behind.
And we're the ones that have to change our ways.
We're the ones that have to change our ways. So certainly, you hear more from older men about, you know, this whole idea of, hey, this is how it's always been. We didn't know it was a problem. This is just a different era now, right? I don't hear many younger men saying that. A lot of younger men, I think, were already moving this direction. Not all of them, for sure, but I think more of them were than older males. So, because older males have just been steeped in this kind of culture that it was okay to treat women this way, and they were for a longer time. Okay, so.
Let's take a call. All right, we got Benita in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Benita.
Hi, David. You know, I think part of the problem is that every woman has stories. I mean, stories and stories.
Yes.
Of how, you know, things didn't go well, or they were treated a certain way, or they were discriminated against, and even worse. But let me just ask you, Dave, do you have any, can you remember in your life any time you were sexually harassed or felt uncomfortable because some woman said something to you?
No, the only time I had a guy say something to me.
Okay.
Right, so that's another male.
Well, I think there's the problem is men don't experience this, and so it's really hard for them to understand. But women, especially when you're young, you have these things thrown at you like on a daily basis, and you have to learn how to react or not react. That's all I got to say.
Jennifer.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would. I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I completely agree with you, and it begins to, you know, slowly shape your life and your outlook or perspective, and I find that very unfortunate, but I think that opening up this conversation is really important. I wish that there were a way for men to go through just a day or two experiencing what young women tend to go through. And see how it feels to them and how they begin to respond to it.
805-543-8830, 800-549-5832 if you want to join us for this conversation with Jennifer Stover. Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, I'll clean this up a little bit. This person says that it's women like you, meaning you, Jennifer, that are making it worse for all women by being ultra-sensitive and paranoid.
Right. Interesting. Well, that's certainly a perspective. So I guess I'm not sure how I'm being ultra sensitive. If you're referring to my choices around things, I would have to say my choices have kept me from being a statistic. I have never been raped. And so I'm not one of those women, and there are plenty of them. I have heeded what I felt were warning signs and then chosen to stay away after that.
All right, six more calls. We've got Kurt on KVEC. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi,
Kurt. I just joined in the conversation. How's everybody doing?
We're good. How are you?
Good.
I'm doing well, thank you. I wanted to ask this question from the standpoint of an educator. I'm an elementary school teacher, and I just heard the comments from the previous caller that kind of struck me. And she said, you know, that she's facing or she faced things on a daily basis. And right. That really concerned me. So I wanted to ask, From a teacher standpoint, what can help teachers to get a better understanding of what might be happening that they at school that they're not aware of?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And if we broaden this idea of Me Too and this idea of communication between men and women to also include the fact that men tend to, not all men, but enough men in my life have tended to sort of run over me in conversations, not actually, you know, spent a significant amount of time with me, telling me all about them and never once asking me about myself. So in all kinds of conversations, making it clear that they value themselves somehow more than they value me or getting to know me.
Yeah.
So I just think that being very vigilant in a school setting to make sure that young women are being heard and that they're not being run over by the male peers in their, in the classroom.
Kurt?
Yeah, okay. I thought you meant at first from like a adult standpoint. I understand that. I feel very fortunate that the school I'm at, which has a few male teachers, were pretty sensitive, I would say, as a whole. But I'm pretty concerned from the student standpoint. Like in the classroom, we can, of course, monitor and be much more aware. But I'm kind of wondering if anyone knows, you know, like on the playground and the hallways, if there is a trend or if there are trends or if there are behaviors that often go unnoticed. And
Are you aware of anything like that, Jennifer?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, as soon as girls hit puberty, it starts with the other boys on the playground. So Yeah.
All right. Kurt, thank you for calling in. We have Diane in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Diane.
You know, I just turned on the radio, and I don't know, but it seems like we're just looking at this from one side. I have seen, for instance, on TV or even in public, seeing where females have treated males extremely poorly and kind of putting them down and so forth, making them look stupid and foolish. And I know that you find it on TV all the time, on TV programs, and it happens in real life also. Have your guests considered that as well?
Yeah, actually, I completely agree with you that that happens. And I mentioned when we were talking about the comedy shows that, yes, there is. It goes both ways on the comedy shows, although it's much more often projected at women. And I would say that you are spot on, though, that if we're going to ask that men treat us as valued individuals, that we need to treat men as valued individuals. And we need to try and figure out how are we really going to communicate around this.
Well, thank you. That sounds so sensible and so balanced. I very absolutely respect you for that statement. Thank you very much.
And Diane, thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Diane.
We go to Bob in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Bob.
You had a question a while back about men experiencing any sort of incidents in their past or whatnot.
I
had one little teeny minor thing when I was like 20, 21 years old. I was at work, and a woman actually fondled my buttock, and I was like taken aback and really shocked. But, I mean, I let it go, and I don't really think it changed my attitude per se. And as a stupid 20-year-old, even though I was married, I still was not the nicest person to some women, even though I was raised with three sisters and three grandmothers. And you'd think I'd have a little bit more awareness, especially being married. Now, as I'm in my 60s, I'm the same age as Dave, I realize that, you know, if a man really wants to interact with a woman on an adult level, try and imagine that woman as either your sister, your daughter, or your mother, depending upon her age level, and give her at least that much respect.
Jennifer.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a wonderful place to start. And I would say to you, Bob, can you imagine if this person that touched you on your buttocks, if you were presented with that constantly every day, or even in bigger and smaller ways, you know, multiple times over those early 20s, sort of, you know, or if we go back to early puberty, how that might begin to affect you?
Oh, absolutely. And I've said this before, I doubt there's a woman alive that has not experienced that at one time or another.
Right. I would agree. And Dave, I'm going to ask you, how did it feel to you when this other fellow sort of encroached upon your personal space, your sense of self, your privacy, your...
It wasn't a big deal.
It wasn't a big deal.
It was at Cambridge University in 1976. We had just won the debating union. He was gay. He was trying to figure out if I was gay.
Right.
I made it clear it wasn't no big deal. And I'm not trying to dismiss anybody else. It happened to me one time.
Right.
I was responding to Benita's question.
Right.
You've asked me again. It was no big deal.
Right.
I remember it, but.
Right. You remember it. So
yeah,
that, so there was a piece of it somehow that you remember.
It's the only time I've ever been propositioned by a guy.
Right. Right. Right.
So anything else, Bob?
No.
Okay.
I just think that we really need to respect each other.
I think that's a good note on which to end. Bob, thank you very much. Jennifer Stover on this broadcast. We'll come back for a final segment. First, with pleasure, I remind you that today's edition of Hometown Radio is sponsored in part by your hometown grocery store, Spencer's Fresh Markets, in Morro Bay and Santa Maria, always online at spencersfreshmarkets.com. Here's some reasons to check out Spencer's tonight on sale. Fresh, boneless, skinless, chicken thighs or breasts, either one, $1.99 a pound. Also, go to Spencer's for artichokes, locally grown, 99 cents each. On the vine, tomatoes, 99 cents a pound. Locally grown sweet strawberries, $1.99 a pack. And same price, California sweet cherries, actually $1.99 a pound. You can also go and you can get Wild King salmon steaks for $18.99 a pound. Wild Pacific rock cod fillets, $4.99 a pound. And how about fresh ground sirloin? How about $4.99 a pound? All this and more, so much more, only at Spencer's. In Morro Bay and Santa Maria, Spencer's Fresh Markets, always worth the drive. Shop at Spencer's, your hometown grocery store. We're proud to have them as a sponsor. The Dave Congleton Show. As Jennifer Stover puts together her final thought, we check in with Andy Morris at the Alex Madonna Expo Center. Hit it, Andy.
Hey, thank you very much, Dave. I know you have a busy afternoon. I'm not going to take much time. Don't forget, Expo at the Expo going on till 7 o'clock tonight. And for those of you who are business owners who just thought, whoops, we got winners here, who thought that the slow chamber only shows up when you're going to open a business with a big pair of scissors and they cut the ribbon across there, they are so much more than that. If you're a business owner, you owe it to yourself to come up and not necessarily to find people to do business with, but to get the best ideas possible for your business. We're going to be talking tomorrow morning with Jim, who is the new CEO of the chamber. Right. So we want to encourage you to come on up.
All right. Thank you, Andy Morris. Nice job, Jennifer Stover, and I particularly enjoyed the phone calls.
Well, thank you.
And I appreciate you taking the time to tell those stories, some of which may have been difficult for you. Final thoughts?
I guess I would just say that that we are in an era of difficult conversations on a lot of different topics. This is definitely one of them, and that it's really important stuff to be talking about. And that there really needs to be a way to be able to talk honestly with people without losing friendships. And that we need to be able to find a way to both say our truth and hear someone else's truth without having it implode positive regard between people.
Yes or no answer, please. Does Joe Biden need to apologize more to Anita Hill?
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll see you then another time. Thank you, Jennifer. We got to go. Off we go. We got news, traffic, weather. Get ready. Derek Sen is in the house. He brought his guitar. This is going to be fun. I'm Dave Congleton.